The reality is the call of God upon all of our lives is a call to mission. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we are, it is a call to mission. Mission is about sharing the love and the life of Jesus. We cannot do it in our own strength. We can only do it because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The reading that we had this morning is very powerful because it tells us, as Justin said right at the start of the service, Jesus prayed for us. Do you understand what that means? It means that before he faces the cross, now Jesus is coming to the end of his life. We have seen in John 13 that he took a towel, wrapped it around himself, washed disciples' feet, and then from John 13:31, where it says Jesus went out, right, to do what he was going to do, Jesus began to do his last instructions. So from John 13:31 to the end of chapter 16, Jesus is giving instructions to his friends about significant things. Things that they needed to know because he was going to physically leave them. Now today is the fourth Sunday after Easter. That's 37 days after Jesus rose from the dead. On Wednesday, it will be 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead in the church calendar, and it's Ascension Sunday. On June the 9th, that will be the day of Pentecost. But on the Ascension, you've got to understand something about the significance of the Ascension. The Ascension is Jesus returned to the Father, and he sits at the Father's side. He left his friends. They would not see him anymore. For 40 days after the resurrection, he had appeared to them, proving he was alive, so that they could have confidence that he was alive. The beauty of the resurrection appearances is this. He would come and go. They would understand his presence was always there, but they would not see him all the time. But the interesting thing about the resurrection appearances of Jesus, which is really important for us to grasp, is that if Jesus, in his resurrection appearance, was standing by this, I was going to say pot plant, but it's actually by the plastic imitation of a plant, if he was standing by this plastic imitation of a plant, he could not be standing behind that plastic imitation of a plant. Because he had a risen body. And the one thing about bodies is bodies can only ever be in one place at one time. I cannot simultaneously stand there and here. It's impossible. But Jesus proved that he was physically alive. But in this prayer that he prayed before all that happened, right? See, it's important, right? Jesus was preparing his friends for the time when he would disappear, when he would not be standing by a plot plant anymore. They would not see him anymore. He was preparing them for that time when they would need to understand that they were relating to Jesus in a different way. They were relating to him through the presence of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus wanted to teach them something as he prayed for them, that what they were going to relate to was their Father. See, this prayer is brilliant because when Jesus said, I'm not praying just for those you 11 guys. He said, I've just prayed for God, I've just prayed, Father, I've just prayed for these 11. And they are significant and they are the people who lay the foundation for everything that is going to follow. But then he says in verse 20, I am praying for those who will believe because of them. Do you realize that you and I are here this morning because the apostles and the first disciples told somebody about Jesus, who they then went and told somebody else about Jesus, who went and told somebody else about Jesus, until somebody told the person who told you and I about Jesus, or the many people that told us about Jesus, so that we could come to know him. And Jesus said, I'm praying for you and for me, for the people who have come to faith, because the 11 were faithful to what Jesus said. Do you realize how powerful that is? Because Jesus was saying to the 11, you are going to succeed in the mission that I am commissioning you to do. If we read the other Gospels, and we read particularly Luke, which is my favourite, at the end of Luke, Jesus says to his mates, he says, look, you guys hang around. Not my. This is my paraphrase. Okay, it's not actually how the text reads. This is my paraphrase. He says, okay, boys, he says, you hang around Jerusalem. You've got to wait. And while you're waiting, just be patient, because I'm going to send to you that which the Father has promised. In fact, he says, I'm going to send to you who the Father has promised. You wait in Jerusalem and you will receive the Spirit. And it was the Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost that empowered them for witness. And we understand that. But this prayer tells us something else about the Spirit. Although the Spirit's not mentioned, right, in this passage, the Spirit's work is very clearly the foundation of what Jesus is saying. For he says, I'm praying that they would know you. See, it's an interesting thing. When I was a young man, and it was some time ago, I was thinking, I was preparing for this, I thought, gee, I've been preaching for 50 years. Which makes the point, when you think it like that, you realise you're getting older. But the reality is, right, when I was a young man, there was a movement called the Jesus Movement. And it spread across the world, particularly began in Southern California, and a very, very significant movement of the Spirit. But as a friend of mine once said, reflecting over the years on the Jesus Movement, the one thing the Jesus Movement got wrong, it was a Jesus Movement. And what he meant by that was that the mission of Jesus was to introduce us to the Father, to put us into relationship with the Father. And brothers and sisters, I think Jesus is awesome. I think he's wonderful. I think he's got the most patient nature that anybody could have. And I got no idea how he's put up with me for those 72 years. Did somebody say amen? Agreeing? But it was not my wife? That really is shattering. I don't know. I'll have to go into therapy now. Good grief. Shattered. But the reality is, you see, Jesus spoke to his disciples in this prayer that the disciples would have a relationship with each other that models the relationship that he has with his Father, but more importantly, that the disciples would have a relationship with him and with the Father. Of the same, not exactly the same as Jesus, because Jesus is the second person in his incarnation. He is both God and man. In his divine nature, he is the second person of the Trinity, coexistent with God from all eternity, bound to God the Father and the Holy Spirit through love, indivisible. All of those great theological words. So we can't have the same relationship. But he wants us to have a relationship that mirrors that, that is similar, that I can know my Father in such a way that I can say, it is like the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. This is his prayer for you and I. His prayer for you and I, that we can have a relationship with the Father that is like the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Lisa, you may have heard in the prayer that same sentiment prayed for you, that you, no matter where you go, you have that relationship with the Father that even transcends your relationship with your earthly father. It's a relationship that doesn't depend on any of this, which you will discover, because you will be somewhere next Sunday when you gather with worship that it will not be like this. In fact, you could be worshiping with people who are concerned as to who might be spying on you. You see, have you ever stopped? You know, God the Father loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Son so that we might have eternal life. And John says in his gospel that eternal life is knowing you. Notice he says this, right? He doesn't say eternal life is knowing me. He says eternal life is knowing the Father. Let's stop to think about how awesomely humble the Son of God is. He does pray in this prayer, at the start of this prayer, that the glory that he had with the Father would be returned to him. You realize, of course, that the glory that Jesus has with us is the glory of the cross. Do you realize that our glory that we share with Jesus is the glory of our suffering? Jesus said, the world hates me, it's going to hate you. And that's our glory, to suffer with Jesus. Our glory is not to be in where we stand in status or in anything else. It's our sharing in the suffering of Jesus. Paul says that I might share in his suffering. In the book of Acts, we read where the disciples who, when they have suffered, come back going, oh, we suffered! Hallelujah! I'd be coming back saying, how come God you let that happen to me? Yeah. Don't you like me anymore? But no, they said, hallelujah. And why is that, you see? Because they understood when the Spirit came upon with the power to empower them for witness, they understood that the Spirit brought them into a relationship with the risen Jesus and with the Heavenly Father that they could not possibly have when all the relationship they could have with the person that stood in one spot. Because it means that everybody, no matter who we are, where we are, because of the Spirit of God revealing to us the risen Jesus in all his glory, revealing to us the truth about the cross, revealing to us about the truth about our inner sin, right? For we are sin. It's not the things that I do, which are bad enough, but deep within my life, there is that core in which basically I tell God to get lost. Where I reject him. But praise God. When Jesus died on the cross, it was so that I could be freed from that sinful, corrupt nature. That I could become a new creation. You see, friends, one of the things this prayer tells me is that I can become a new creation because of what God has done. I have a long way to go before I get there. I've been pondering that for the last, I don't know how many years, that knowing everything that I know, why, how come I am not much different? Well, I'll put it slightly differently. How come I am not what I should be? Because I have great theological and biblical knowledge. I'm not big noting myself with that, but I do. I'm not actually up with the really good ones, but I do have a fair bit. And I ponder why, how come with everything that I know that I am not what I should be? How come I am not somebody who actually believes as everything that I teach? And one of the reasons for that is that my relationship with the Father is still incomplete. You see, Jesus' relationship with his Father was unbroken. So when Jesus said, I only do what the Father asked me to do and I only say what the Father asked me to say, it's because he had an unbroken relationship. And so when he prayed to God and he asked God a question, he knew when God answered. He understood the voice of God. And if I am to pray like Jesus, because that's the title of this series, and I said to Stan, I would have preferred the title to be, what does Jesus teach us about prayer? Then you could just outline that. But the problem for me when I saw this title was, I had to ask myself, do I actually pray like Jesus? Which meant I had to ask myself, am I like Jesus? In what way does my life fail to be like Jesus? And the one thing that comes through over and over again is the knowledge that Jesus had this close intimacy with the Father. The intimacy that came through the Spirit. An intimacy that came because Jesus spent time in prayer. That Jesus would set aside time to be with his Father. And I came to the conclusion, as I thought through this and as I prayed through this, that the unity that Jesus prays for comes through, and the band can come through. They're waiting for my cue. I forgot I was going to give them a cue. What comes through in all of this, right? What comes through in all of this, if we are to understand this, if we are to get ourselves to a place where we come with the unity, it has to be that we become a people who pray. We become a people who pray that God would send his Spirit afresh upon us. For it is a Spirit's work to reveal Jesus to us. It's the Spirit's work to reveal truth to us. It is a Spirit's work to connect us with the Father. For without the Spirit of God coming upon us afresh, daily, weekly, monthly, hourly, we could do everything that we do, and we'd all feel good, and we'd all be happy, but we would miss, I think, what the essence of this prayer is. Well, some of the essence of this prayer is that Jesus says that we may be one as the Father and I are one. And we cannot be one without the Spirit making that a reality. It is the Spirit's role. For in the Trinity, it is the Spirit, and please do not take this as being definitive Trinitarian doctrine, because nobody has ever come up with definitive Trinitarian doctrine. But it's the Spirit's role that in the Trinity, where you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit so closely united that you cannot put anything between them, the communication that goes on, the love that goes on, it is the Spirit who does that. Brothers and sisters, it is the Spirit that does that for us. We have to be a people of the Spirit. We have to be a people of the prayer. Then, because the Spirit's desire is to glorify Jesus, we will become a Jesus people. But it's the Son's desire to glorify the Father, and so we will become the Father's people. So if we become a Spirit people, and a Jesus people, and a Father's people, we will become the people of God. Men, women, children, who will impact not just our own community, but the world at large. Stan would not have to get up here and say, who's thinking about mission? He'd have to get up and say, please, would somebody stop coming to see me? Because next week there'll be nobody sitting here because you'll all be somewhere else. Because, brothers and sisters, that is the work of the Spirit, to change us from who we are into what Jesus wants us to be. And that's a people who know the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Father, as we think through these things, I just want to say, Father, just what I've shared is so inadequate, so paltry. And yet, Father, you can take even these words and you can apply it to us as you see fit. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would send your Spirit upon us afresh, that we may become the people that you want us to be, so that the Son may be honored and the Father glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.